Isaiah chapter 42, and we're going to actually stand together and read the first 12 verses, okay? Isaiah 42 and verses 1 through 12. I want to preach to you another message this morning that relates to our missions theme for this year. I want to preach to you on this topic this morning, bright lights to the ends of the earth. Bright lights to the ends of the earth. Here in Isaiah chapter 42... and verses 1 through 12. Have you found it yet? If you found Isaiah 42, can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's some of you good. All right, Isaiah 42, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12 together. The Bible says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench, and he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein." Notice this verse. "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. That the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands." Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I ask you to use it this morning in our hearts to challenge us, to give us a commission of what we ought to do. Help us, Lord, I pray, speak to each one of us in a personal way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can be seated. God's people were supposed to be a light to the Gentiles. You shut the door. A light to the Gentiles. They were supposed to help them to know the truth and to see the light, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that Jesus Christ, he is the truth. The Bible says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In John 8 and verse 32, it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's talking about Jesus Christ. He is the truth. But he's also the light. The Gospel of John, if you'll turn there with me, John chapter 1 in the New Testament. The Gospel of John chapter 1. And in some short verses here, the Bible teaches us through the Gospel of John that Jesus Christ, he is the light. He is the light that came into this world. John chapter 1 and verses 1 to 12 says this: "In the beginning was the Word." And that Word is Jesus Christ as well. He's given the name Word, and he's called many things in the Scriptures. But Jesus is the Word, and if you wonder about that, look down to verse 14. The Word, capitalized again, because it's very, very personal, referring to a personal pronoun. Is that the right word? It's been a long time since I've been in English class. Personal what? Proper noun. See, you took English. I went to school a long time ago, okay? Proper noun. Here we have it capitalized, and it's referring to Jesus Christ. It says, "And the Word was made flesh," right? See the description about him? The Word, God, was made flesh. That's God becoming flesh, God coming down to earth. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So when Christ was born into this world, we got to see the glory of God. He came, and he is grace and truth. But go back to verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus was there at creation. He had a part of creation. Things didn't just, you know, blah, just appear. Big blob, you know, whatever, big bang. No, Jesus was there. God had a part of creation. God spoke His word. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And everything was made. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. So talking about John the Baptist. He wasn't the light himself, but he was supposed to bear witness or tell others about the light, tell others about Jesus Christ. It says that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, to the Jews, and they received him not. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Christ brings light to all those who sit in darkness spiritually. He brings salvation and eternal life to those who are lost, to those who are dying in their sin. Jesus Christ brings light to those who are maybe enslaved or who are in prison, like Isaiah talked about. They sit in the prison of darkness. They're enslaved by their sins, and they have no hope for the future and no hope for eternity. But Christ brings them light. Jesus Christ came into the world to bring light to people of all nations. You know, the gospel and the light, it's not just for North American people, or it's not just for Jewish people. It's for all people. It's for all nations. All nations. He wants to bring light to big nations and to small nations. He wants to bring light to the continents, to the mainlands, to the coasts, to those on the islands. He wants to bring light to every person everywhere, to the ends of the earth. In Luke chapter 2, after the birth of Jesus Christ, some of you that you know the story and you've read the Bible before, you know how Joseph and Mary, after a certain number of days, after the 8th day, I think it was, they brought him to Jerusalem for circumcision. And the Bible tells us there was a very devout man by the name of Simeon there in Jerusalem. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel to come, the Bible says. He was waiting for the birth of the Messiah. He was waiting for the Savior. And the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says, impressed on Simeon's heart that Jesus was truly the Christ. This is Him. You've been waiting, and now here He is. He's been born. This is the Christ child. And the Bible tells us that Simeon, he took up Jesus in his arms. He held Him. He blessed God. That means he praised God. You know, when you bless God, it's a meaning of, you know, you're praising God and you're thanking God for what He's done. And here Simeon was thanking God and praising God because He'd sent the Messiah. He'd sent the Savior, Jesus Christ. Simeon said this, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." What happened? The light came into the world. The light came into the world. That light was Jesus Christ. Do you know whether it was before Christ or whether it's after Christ, God's people, we've always supposed to have been light. We've always supposed to have been light. The nation of Israel, they were certainly a blessed nation and a blessed people of God, God's chosen people. But you know what they were supposed to be? A light to all the nations around them. They were to help people to see that their God is real. He's the true God. He's Jehovah God. What they have is real. And today, us, we're to be lights. We're to be reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life and our witness and so on ought to be such light that it helps to point people to the one true God and to the Savior, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 5, if you would. The Gospel of Matthew, first book of the New Testament. Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. In His Sermon on the Mount, recorded here in Matthew 5, Jesus taught us that His disciples, His followers, were supposed to be the light of the world. Now, Jesus, He is the light, but we're to be in a little lights. We're to be reflectors of the true light. We're to be reflectors of that light, which is Jesus Christ. And look what the Bible says, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5 and verses 14 to 16. Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, you know what? I learned a song in Sunday school, and some of you maybe learned it too. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. What's the next verse? Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Are you letting your light shine? We're to be light. We're to be light to the lost. We're to be light to our neighbors. We're to be light in a world that's filled with darkness. You know, shine all over Toronto, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine all over Toronto, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Are you letting your light shine? Are you letting your light shine for Jesus Christ? Do your neighbors know that you're a Christian? Do people around you know? Do they see Christ? Do they? Would your life help to point them to God? Our lives ought to. We're supposed to be light, and light stands out. If we were to go and shut off all the lights in this room this morning and put this room in total darkness, if you just could light one candle, boy, it would stand out, wouldn't it? That light, all the attention and focus could be drawn to that one light, because in a place that's filled with darkness, that light will be obviously seen and it'll be clear. It'll provide light. And our lives ought to be such that, you know, whether it be in our school, whether it be in our neighborhood, whether it be in our workplace, that when there's darkness all around, we shine forth as light. God's people have always been supposed to shine as light. We're not to hide our light. Hide it under a bushel. That's not a kid's song. That's the Bible verse. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. We're not to cover our light. We're not to be ashamed of the light. We're supposed to let our light shine brightly. Bright lights. Bright lights to the ends of the earth. People ought to see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ through our lives. People ought to hear about the light of Jesus Christ through our lips. Do we ever speak to other people about Jesus Christ? You know, it's not to be something that we kind of keep them in here. Oh, I'm glad I've got them. I'm going to keep them inside here. No, tell others about them. Tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell others how great your God is and what great things he's done for you. People ought to see the light. They ought to see Jesus Christ through our lives, but they also ought to hear about him. They ought to hear about the light of Christ through our lips. In the book of Acts, You can turn there with me, and we'll read in just a moment. Get to Acts chapter 13, if you would. But I want you to listen. I want to tell you some things that happen in the chapters around it as well. In the book of Acts, we've got two men we read about by the name of Saul and Barnabas, or Paul and Barnabas. Saul gets his name changed. Here's Saul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, and they realized that they were supposed to be bright lights for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapters 11 and 12 and 13, they were just busy shining. Everywhere they went, they were shining. They were glowing. They were shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. They were shining the light in Jerusalem. They were shining in the church of Antioch. They were shining brightly in their city. You know, they didn't just shine when I'm at church. Shine, Jesus, shine, baby, shine. No, they shined out there. They shined when they were out on the street. They were shined in the marketplace. They shined and when they went to the synagogue to preach. I mean, they shined everywhere. They shined. And we're to let our light shine for Jesus Christ. The Bible says this, Acts 11, 21. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. You know where that happened? Light shining brightly. Acts 11, 24. Much people were added unto the Lord, it tells us. Acts 11, 26, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You know why they were called Christians? They did not give themselves that name. They did not say, we need a name. We need a name for our club here. Let's call ourselves Christians. No. You know what happened? Other people saw these believers, these followers of Jesus, and they saw them as how they lived and how they were, and they said, you know what? They're like Christ. They're little Christ. They're like Christ. And they called them Christians. You know why that happened? Because their light was shining. Is your light shining? If people around you were to look at you and they say, you know what? That person, they've got to be a Christian. That person's got to be a Christian. I bet you that person goes to church somewhere. I bet that person believes in Jesus. Our lights ought to shine. That people would know that we're Christians. Acts 12, verse 24 and 25 says, the word of God grew and multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. Listen, the word of God was growing and multiplying, and people were believing, people were getting saved. They were starting to be called Christians. Why? Because their light was shining everywhere that they went. They didn't just shine when they're in their home. They didn't just shine when they went to church for a little while. No, they shined all the time, everywhere that they went. And you know, as Christians, that's what we're supposed to do. It doesn't matter whether you're a senior or a teenager or somewhere in between. Your light ought to shine. Your light ought to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas were sent out of Antioch. You know why they were sent out of Antioch? They were sent to shine. They were sent to shine the light. The Bible doesn't use those words, but that's why they were sent. Shine the light. Shine the light. Go tell people about the light. Go shine the light of Jesus Christ. And they were empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And as such, and as they yielded, they allowed the light of Christ to shine brightly through their lives. They shared the light of the gospel boldly to anybody who would listen to them. Anywhere they went, everywhere they went, they shined. They shined. Paul and Barnabas preached the gospel. They preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as they shined forth the light of the gospel, you know what happened? Men and women got saved. People started believing and getting saved. Their lives were changed. Some people liked what they had to say, and some people didn't like it. You know, some people liked their light shining, and some people didn't really like it, but they continued to shine. Look what the Bible says in Acts 13 and verse 42. Acts 13, verses 42 and 43. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. You know, there was people gathered around, and the Jews, most of them went away. I don't think I like this. I don't like what Paul and Barnabas are saying. But some of the Gentiles that were kind of lingering around the outside, you know, they wouldn't have gotten in chief seats, you know, there in the Jewish synagogue. But some of them that were around, and they kind of heard Paul and Barnabas just thundering forth the truth and the gospel and preaching Christ. They said, hey, on the next Sabbath, can you come tell us about that? Can you come speak to us about that? Notice what it says, verse 43. Now, when the congregation was broken up, they began to separate, go their ways, and so on. Many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. I want you to notice that some of the Jews believed, and some continued in the grace of God, but some didn't believe. But you know what Paul and Barnabas did? They just kept on shining. They just kept on shining. They were willing to shine the light to whoever was willing to hear it. The Bible said in verse 42 that the Gentiles asked Paul and Barnabas, can you come speak to us on the next Sabbath? And notice what happens, verse 44. Acts chapter 13 and verse 44. It says, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Some people, because of the darkness of their heart, some people, because they're lost and blind in their religion, some people, maybe because they sit in the darkness of the prison of sin, you know what? Some people don't like to have the light shined on them. Some people don't like to have light exposed, explode. Light expose their darkness, or light expose their sin, or light expose their false religion that leaves them empty. But you know what Paul and Barnabas did? They kept on shining the light brightly. They continued to boldly share the light of the gospel. They continued to share the truth that people needed to hear. Look at verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, to the Jews. But seeing ye put it from you, ye put it away, you know, you didn't want to hear it, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Paul says to these angry Jews, these unbelieving Jews, he says, you know, we've spoken to you the truth. We came into the synagogue first and we told you the word of God and we shared with you the light, but because you've rejected it, because you don't, you've put it away, you've said, no, I don't want to hear that. We're focusing our attention today on the crowd of people that does want to hear it. And so Paul and Barnabas, what did they do? They just kept shining. They just kept shining. That they didn't be discouraged that, well, here's one group that they don't want to hear what I say, so I'm just going to, you know, sit here, keep fighting with them. No, I'll go speak to somebody else that wants to hear it. I'll go speak to somebody else that wants to hear it. They continued preaching the light of the gospel. They continued to preach Jesus Christ wherever people were willing to listen. Look down at verse 47. Acts chapter 13 and verse 47 to 49. It says, for so the Lord hath commanded us. Here was what Paul and Barnabas realized. They said, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Throughout all the region. They just kept on shining. Many people believed on Christ and were saved. Why? Because Paul and Barnabas were willing to shine brightly. They continued to shine brightly. They didn't hide their light under a bushel. They let it shine. They didn't because, well, people of Richmond Hill, they don't all like me. I go to some of these homes or I meet a certain crowd and they don't like it. So I think I'll keep my little light. I'll keep my little light. I'll keep it inside the church. I'll keep it inside here. I'll keep it to myself. No. They didn't let it stop them just because there was crowds that maybe didn't like the light, didn't like the truth. They continued to let their light shine. They didn't hide their light under a bushel when some persecution came. They did not retreat with their light and just, you know, keep it inside the walls of their home. They did not just keep it inside the walls of their good church that they had in Antioch. They were willing to go out and be the light, to be the light in the community. That's where the light is needed more than ever. You know, the light is needed more out there than it's needed in here this morning. They were willing to be the light. They were willing to go out and spread the light anywhere that people would listen. And what a great example they set for us. You know, as God's people, we've all been called to shine brightly for Jesus Christ. We are to let our light shine. Let your light so shine before men. Don't just let your light shine under your bushel. Let your light shine in your house. Let your light shine in that little bit of time that you spend in church each week. No, let your light shine out there before men, where they can see it, where they can see the light, where they can see Christ. We're to let our light shine. We're to be light. Our life ought to be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lips are supposed to speak of the light, to tell others of Jesus Christ, to tell them about the light who came into the world to bring salvation, who came to turn people from darkness to light. We're supposed to live like Christ. You and I ought to live like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to reflect the light of Christ. We're to be the light. That means we ought to witness and share Christ with others. We ought to live like light. Live like light in the midst of darkness. You might ask this. Well, what should I do when people don't want to hear about the light? You know, what am I supposed to do? If I'm trying to shine the light to a coworker, I'm trying to shine the light to a classmate or whatever, they don't like it. They don't want to hear about the light. Well, you just determined to keep on shining and keep on going and keep on sharing the light of Christ until you find those who are willing to listen. Not everybody wanted to listen to Paul and Barnabas. Not everybody wanted to hear what Paul and Barnabas had to say, but they kept on shining. They kept on shining. Look what the Bible says in verse 49, beginning in 49 down through the end of the chapter. It says, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Why? Because they kept shining. Verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. They raised up some teacher to come along and say, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to talk like that in this school. They raised up some person to say, you need to keep that quiet. If you want to be a Christian, fine, but don't talk about that in your workplace. Don't ever tell anybody about Jesus Christ. Don't, you just shh. They brought along some person to say, hey, get out of our building. Don't come in here. We don't want to hear that. But you keep shining. You keep shining. Keep shining for Christ. We're to live like Christ. We're to shine for Christ. Notice what it says. They stirred up people to raise persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. They sent them away. Get out of here. But what did they do? Verse 51. They shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. They had people sending them out, okay? They shook off the dust of their feet, and that's a New Testament expression for what we're to do. They shook the dust off their feet, and they kept on going. Fine, we'll go to Iconium. We'll find people there. We'll find people there that are maybe willing to listen, but we're just going to keep shining the light. Verse 52 says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Paul and Barnabas did not let the attitude or the response of others discourage them or deter them. They were filled with joy, knowing that, you know, we're doing the right thing. There may be some who don't like the light or some that don't want to hear about the light, but we're doing the right thing. And they were filled with joy. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And by His power and by His grace, they continued to boldly shine the light of Christ until they found those who wanted to hear. You and I are called to be bright lights. Bright lights. Shining. Shining the light of Christ. Shining the light of the gospel. Shining the light of salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, why is our church called Gospel Light Baptist Church? Some people wonder, what does that name mean? You know, I've never heard of a church with that name before. Why is our church called Gospel Light Baptist Church? Well, because we want to be disciples of Jesus Christ who shine brightly. We want to shine the gospel light, and not just inside the walls of our church, and not just inside these walls when we get together to meet together or come for a Bible study or prayer meeting or whatever, but we want to shine the lights when we leave this place. We want to shine the light of the gospel everywhere we go. We want to be people of God who brightly shine the light of the gospel of Christ through our lives and by our lips to the people of the Toronto area. You say, Pastor, why does our church make such a big deal of sending out missionaries all around the globe? You know, to preach the gospel and shine the light of Christ. It's because we know we're supposed to shine the light. And we're supposed to shine brightly. We're supposed to be bright lights to the ends of the earth. You see it in Acts. You see it in Isaiah. Hey, the light is supposed to get to the ends of the earth. The light just is not for this select group of people. No, it's for everyone, everywhere, in all nations, even to the islands, the Bible says. And we need to let our light shine brightly. Our light needs to shine near, and our light needs to shine far away. Far away, to the ends of the earth. In our city, to the ends of the earth. Near, and to the ends of the earth. Just everywhere, everywhere. That's why we send out missionaries. That's why we want to reach out in our community, because we're to shine brightly. Shine brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it was Oswald J. Smith, maybe, who years ago was the pastor of People's Church, who maybe said this statement, the light that shines furthest shines brightest at home. The light that shines furthest shines brightest at home. And I don't know about all that necessarily, but I know that we want to shine far, and I know that we want to shine brightly. I know we as a church want to shine far and help shine the light of Christ and get the light of the gospel to people everywhere. That's why we sent the Leonards and helping to send the Leonards to Fiji. I mean, that is literally the end of the earth. You can't even see it on the map, right? We want to shine the gospel, the light of the gospel everywhere to the ends of the earth. But you know what? We also need to shine the light of the gospel right here. Where we live, in your workplace, in your community, in your city, to your neighbors, in your school, everywhere. Let's shine brightly. Shine brightly. We ought to be bright lights. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We need to be bright lights to the ends of the earth.